Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jasmine Field, and I am joined with my wonderful co-host, Miss Michelle Benoit, in the studio today.
So cute.
Today, we are going to be talking about something, Michelle, that I think makes a lot rise up in both men and in women. And in so many pictures within our mind, when we think about this word, this really fiery word, feminism, we think about angry arguments. We think about the fight for equal treatment amongst women in the social and political world.
Sure.
And even the rejection of how God defines and regards the creation of woman.
Okay.
So the voice of feminism has been a loud one throughout history. But I think the most ironic quality about it, which you and I had discussed earlier this weekend, is that it's disguised itself in several ways that have encouraged people to embrace the worship of themselves and build relationships with fear and suspicion at the center. So I know that this is a little bit sensitive of a subject, but I also think it's important to understand how things like this have started, how it's been interwoven into human thinking, into our culture, and of course, how it's kind of found these sneaky ways into the church as well.
Sure. Sure. Before we start, I just need to make an announcement.
Oh,
excuse
yes.
me, everybody. If you're listening live, we have a new Connection Bible study starting, and it's on the book of Nehemiah.
Nehemiah. Oh, my gosh.
A ministry of compassion and leadership.
Wow.
And both are for women. Here on the Baltimore campus, it starts on Tuesday, September 10th. You do have to register.
Okay.
So register and come to class, get your book.
Wow, that's awesome.
Study the Bible with other ladies.
So that the opportunity for joining in that study is on Tuesday mornings,
Tuesday morning.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Oh, wow. I really hope everybody takes advantage of
that. Well, just to be with Debbie Kindigari every week was fun.
I know. I'm just thinking about her sweet face and just the ways that so much wisdom is received and just going in depth into God's word with ladies who have such a heart for it. It's really a rarity of a place. So I would encourage everybody who can attend, please do.
Awesome.
Please do.
So back to our topic. It's a relatively new topic. Only in the 18th century, men and women philosophers started saying that women should have the same opportunities to education that men had. And the first wave really started, it's four waves, all right? The first wave started in the 1830s, where women realized to make social change, they needed political power. So they wanted the vote.
Yes.
And if you've seen Mary Poppins, you know all about the suffragettes.
Yes, with her sweet smile.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was basically trying to help women in the workforce to own property. If you've read any Jane Austen books, you know women weren't allowed to own property in Britain and to vote.
Wow. Wow. You know, that's interesting that you say that because I did research some information about this particular time period and how things started to become a little bit more intensified, a little bit angrier. Some publications happened that stirred up a lot of thought. But it says there's scant evidence about this upheaval amongst women in the ancient time of third century, where there were a group of women who blockaded a forum in Europe because they were trying to make a statement that they should have equal rights.
Okay.
And so this was kind of the first unofficial instance, according to Britannica, where we see women making a statement, blocking these entrances and saying, we know there's a government official in there who could be fighting for this. And instead he's saying, if we let women have rights like this, what else will they do? And so it really showed me that there's a lot of fear involved in the transfer of leadership. And sometimes that can be the driving force behind why certain women are kept away from certain positions, or maybe even when we come away from God even further, we don't focus on how he thinks we are equalized. You know, he emphasizes that in Genesis chapter one, you know, we're all created in God's image. And so even if that means that our role in God's image is to sometimes be loud, to sometimes be submissive, are we going back to his order, or are we following this strayed order of, well, what do I think? What is my fear? And how can I maintain my control?
Wow. You know, I'm a child of the 60s, and that's when the second wave started.
Okay.
Women wanted liberation. it was all focused on the female body and our rights. Mm-hmm. And there were definitely topics that needed to be addressed, domestic violence, you know, abortion, rape, sexuality. They even called it the sexual politics. Mm. But it was short-lived, and we have a third wave in the 1990s.
Okay.
And focused on identity itself.
Okay.
You know, does your body determine your identity? How about your appearance? Can you change your appearance and be a different person?
Wow.
And then the fourth wave since 2008, and I don't know where they got that date from, it's this increased internet culture.
Oh, my goodness.
Calling out and taking note of how commercials, how television, how literature, how advertising is marketing to women in certain stereotypical ways that a lot of women don't appreciate.
Wow.
So, you know, it's evolved into liberal feminism, Marxist feminism, radical feminism, evangelical, global, post-structural, and anti-feminism.
Wow.
And anti-feminists say that, no, this whole wave after wave after wave has promoted hatred of men and the elevation of women. And they say that radical feminist positions are harmful. All right. If I'm going to say, if you get stuck on any topic, where it becomes your cause, your issue, we're not talking doctrine. We're not talking whether Jesus is God. We're talking issues, social issues. They lead to entitlement.
Yes.
Skewed ideas of justice and arguments about rights.
Right.
And these create social divisions. And men and women need all the help they can get.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Partners, not combatants.
Wow. You know, that's a really great point because, you know, when we step away from how God has purposely designed relationships, it just causes a distortion. And from that distortion, there's a build and a build and a build because what becomes the focus? The magnification of our feelings.
Sure.
You know, and when you are functioning in anger and bitterness and feelings of frustration, there's usually not a lot of good that comes from that. You could be a very intellectual person, and maybe even some of the things that you're uncomfortable with shouldn't be happening. But your response to them being, well, what can I do and how can this be in my hands now? That's when things start to take a turn in a bad direction. It's not that we're saying, listen, if this is what the Bible says and it makes you uncomfortable, then you just have to deal with it because God doesn't care about how you feel. That's not what we're saying. But we are saying that everybody in the Bible, including Christ, has been drastically uncomfortable at some point. And when you stop consulting him and stop receiving wisdom from him about what to do next, that's usually when disaster is on its way.
You know, we could talk about sociology. I studied that in college. And something you would never say seated across a table one-on-one, you will shout from a protest line.
Wow.
You know, and I grew up where everyone was protesting the Vietnam War.
Okay.
You know, and making such a big deal out of that. And as, you know, in my mind, as they should rightly, you know, our young men were going to Vietnam and not winning. It's one thing when you have a just war and with a just cause. It's another when you're shipping men across the sea and you don't even understand the politics.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I grew up knowing about protesting. That evolved into protesting in my own life about abortion, you know. And now we just have to go back. Let's stop. Let's rewind. Let's take back all our energy. And how do the core beliefs of feminism line up with the biblical gender roles? Why did God create two genders? Why isn't there just one? Well, we all know as women that when God created Adam, he said, oh, this isn't good.
Something's missing. I love all these animals, but it's just, it's not doing it for me in a way that I think could be.
And, you know, like you couldn't just think of a bicycle.
Yes.
If one of your bicycle pedals was broken and you only had that one leg.
Oh, that's a great analogy.
You know, and you're pushing and waiting for it to come back up and pushing. Well, you can ride a bicycle with one pedal, but it sure is easier with two. And we can go all the way back. You mentioned Genesis to Genesis 1, verse 28. God blessed them. He said it wasn't that men alone weren't good. It was men alone weren't good. Men need women in their lives.
Yes.
And we've heard Pastor Angelonis talk about the wild, wild west in America mm-hmm. was not settled until the guys brought their women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was wild
right.
and crazy.
Right.
And then women came and we formed societies.
Yes.
You know, and God said to us in Genesis 1:28, he said to both Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. Those are five powerful
yes, absolutely.
Things. Be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we know the first couple were instructed to have fun,
mm-hmm.
enjoy each other, mm-hmm. procreate people who would reflect God's image.
Mm-hmm.
Having one gender doesn't do it.
Right.
And in the church, that's the same thing God wants us to do today.
Yes,
the mandate hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Be fruitful, multiply.
Yes.
And
yes.
what's the key to producing fruit? Abiding in the vine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are distracting yourself with social issues, yes, they're important. Yes, please vote when it comes up in November.
Yes.
Yes, educate yourself about certain things, but don't let this, I'm going to just go there. In my own life, there are issues that God has said, you're worshiping this issue
mm-hmm.
more than me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that that's an amazing point, Michelle, because in light of all these wonderful benefits that God lists in Genesis, the voice of a lot of feminists is that all of these things are actually kind of a restriction.
Okay.
What about the things that you want to do beyond these things? Is that okay?
Okay.
What about if you choose a path that doesn't reflect this? Is that okay? Don't you think you're kind of limited staying within this range? You know, that's the voice that I believe was speaking to Eve, even through the serpent. You know, you want more, don't you?
Okay.
You know, and so we have this first instance with her. And then later on in history, we have possibly this third century upheaval. And then, like you said, you know, later on in the 15th through 18th centuries, we have these arguments about, well, I want to be educated too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, I want to have the rights to nice clothing too.
Sure.
Or, you know, all of these things, again, they're not bad things, but they're also things that can totally consume you. And there was a woman, I don't know if you've heard of her, maybe you had came across her name during your research, but her name was Christine, and she was a lady in France who actually wrote a series of letters that talked about the fact that women were not able to have an education, and they should have been. And then her name is Christine de Pisan. So through these letters, she challenged women's rights to an education, marital oppression, and the frivolous qualities of women's clothing. So when this was published, it caused a public stir amongst women who agreed and amongst men who disagreed. Right. And so as this started happening, it became a debate of whether or not you agreed with it in these social circles. You know, how do you feel about women doing this? How do you feel about women doing that? And there was a mixture of emotion, which I think still exists today. I'm not saying that I want to step down from the role that God has designed for me by wanting to embrace these other things in a fair way. But what does society teach me? It teaches me that I do have to choose between one or the other. Why can't I be educated and be a mom and also be a godly woman in the church? You know, if my perspective and my center is on Christ, that's the key. And through the publication of these letters, and then later on seeing how this free thought movement just moved about in the Enlightenment period later, that's when a lot of things started to become focused on reason and self. Do you feel free enough? Are you expressing yourself in all the ways that you want to? You know, and there's even a focus on whether or not the celebration of reason and the power by which humans understand the universe improves their own condition.
Okay.
So when I read that quote, I said, improves their own condition. I don't think you can improve your own condition. I think that there are some things you can do to say, okay, this is a little bit more fair. This is a little bit more bearable. Now I'm able to be a helpmeet, you know, like you said, but we don't really have the power to improve our condition. We have to go back to God and say, before I raise my fist about this and fight for this, God, is this part of your plan? Is this the way that you want me to implement my opposition? Because in your emotion, it is very easy to grab that picket sign. Or even as I was reading in this book, it's called Beyond Bath Time by Erin Davis. She was saying that during the early 1920s, a lot of communists were leading these meetings called Speak Bitterness meetings in living rooms, orchestrating a way that peasants that were oppressed had a place to vent their anger and their frustration about being oppressed. What did it lead to? Rise and upheaval of anger and revolt.
Oh, wow.
So are we having Speak Bitterness meetings in our living rooms?
Well, I'll tell you, I have lobbied for quartz countertops in my kitchen, talking about improving my condition, to where I drove my husband crazy. I dragged him to showrooms. I talked about them. And finally, after months of this lobbying and please, and what do you think? And how about this color? God finally said to me, yes, you need new countertops because yours are broken.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, I don't often hear from God, but I heard that. No, my countertops are not broken. They're fine. They're not new and improved.
They're not your preference.
Come on.
They're not your preference.
So God wants us to be fruitful and he wants us to multiply, not add, multiply. Mm-hmm. There's a different word there. And can single women multiply? Yes. By fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yes.
By making disciples, by teaching in your backyard.
Oh.
By teaching at Camp Life.
Wow.
You know, women can be mothers, missionaries, ministers.
Yes, absolutely.
We have an incredible amount. You want to preach and they won't let you on stage? Well, go soul winning.
Mm-hmm.
You preach all you want to men, women, children, and dogs.
Yes.
You know, nobody's going to stop you from preaching on the street as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
The third one means to replenish, to overflow. And I think as moms, we get stuck there.
Oh my goodness.
With our children.
I think that's the very reason why this book even had that portion on the origin of feminism, because she was saying that as a mom, once you realize as a young mom how much sacrifice and time and energy and just sometimes some flat out saying goodbye to some of your plans, you have to be very careful with what you do with those feelings, because it can be harbored as bitterness in your heart and come out through your mothering and through your relationship with your husband. Going through the filter of the cross and understanding, God, if this is part of your plan, teach me how to let it go emotionally. It's so important for us, Michelle, because it's those emotions that once those are latched onto with those angry feelings, we are manipulated.
You know, and motherhood, as fun as it was for me, and I still have one child at home, I always knew they were leaving, you know, and if you're on Reddit, and God bless you if you are, there is no end of stories about interfering mother-in-laws.
Mm.
And I did not want to be one of those kinds of people. Motherhood is got a time stamp on it.
Yes.
Yes, my children, they still call me and we talk, but you know, they have wives now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, I was a gifted mom. All moms are gifted to be a great mom.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't compare yourself to anybody else.
Right.
Do your own thing.
Right.
Have passion, but realize you're not going to always be doing this.
Right.
The next word in Genesis was to subdue, to beat down, to make a path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that path goes against our own natural feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to you about finances and getting paid.
Yeah.
Should women get paid the same as men? Yes, 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 yes. I found out many years later, I'd worked for 8 years in a Christian school. My top salary at the end was $125.
Wow.
A week.
Wow.
And no pay during the summer. We did not get paid.
What?
Yep. Did not get paid during the summer.
You did not mention that part.
Oh, yeah. And I found out years later, someone had drawn up a rubric of how the school should run.
Okay.
And experience and responsibility should count. And I should have been the highest paid professional there.
Wow.
According to this new rubric.
Oh, my gosh.
And I could have gotten furious.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I realized it was a matter of budget.
Mm-hmm.
I was married. Mm-hmm. I had two income. We had two incomes. We had a house that we rented out to second and third floor, had wonderful people living in our home, you know, in our apartments. And it was just a budget issue. It wasn't anything about me personally.
Wow.
And so I immediately let it go.
But you know you what? Know?
But in a corporate setting, yeah. no, that yeah. doesn't fly.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
And we want people to make noise about that kind of thing.
Yeah. Per situation, definitely God has different thoughts towards the group that you're dealing with that he knows better than you, by the way. And I think that honestly, being able to stop within, I'm sure that was a wave of emotion you felt when you realized what was going
like
on.
Like what?
Yeah. You know, what's, have I really been living under this and I could have had this and could have had that. And that's the thing. When you consult God, of course, you're going to go with all these ripe emotions, but what was the word he spoke to you? Are you trying to settle in on discontentment? Because sure. I've been providing everything you've needed the entire time that you yes. haven't known this has been going on.
Yes,
God was faithful. So don't start having a problem with it because you feel like you should be rising up now.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm supposed to get mad. You know, there's a time to get mad, but there's also a time to be quiet, process at the feet of God, and then speak the words he puts in your mouth.
And was the school that I worked at my provision? No, mm-hmm. it was God.
Mm-hmm.
If you work at a church, you're probably not getting top dollar.
Right.
For what I'm sure Pastor Schaller in the corporate world should be getting 10 times what he gets here for what he does.
But it's like you said, Michelle, also in our talk, you said, when I realized, when God put on my heart that many of the roles that I have and the jobs that I take, they are mainly about giving. They are not about getting.
Yeah. yeah.
Then my contentment and my provision comes yeah. from a completely different place.
If you know this is what God has for you. Mm. And the last command back in Genesis 1:28 is to rule. Mm. Ruling is not a task given to just Adam. He was talking to both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he blesses us with leadership. And we have a comment on Facebook. What do you think?
Hello.
Should a woman be president?
Oh,
well,
wow.
yeah.
I mean, I think, of course, coming back to the call of God, I don't think she should be president if it's what she wants and if it's pats on the back from other people and self-glorification, that's the real motive. You know, no matter who it is or what they look like, if the heart is not right, you can dress it up. You can be whatever impressive symbol you'd like to be. But the character of Christ is seen when it's actually living inside of you. And that's my main concern.
I agree. I know women that could run small countries.
Wow.
You know, then they have no training,
mm-hmm.
but they're amazing. And they have these gifts, and we should talk about gifts someday,
mm-hmm.
of organization and leadership.
Yes.
And
yes.
in our church here, my friends serve under the authority of the church.
Mm-hmm.
They are under a pastor.
Yes.
And, but they work very hard and they're so capable and they're so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Indira Gandhi, come on,
mm-hmm.
amazing woman.
Mm.
Do I want to run a country? Oh, goodness, no.
No.
No, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. You know, sometimes we just need some direction about what to do with the gifts rather than feel like we're supposed to just be ignoring them or subduing them, as you said. And yeah. that's why it is important to make sure that if something is of grave concern on our hearts, that we're not harboring it. We are talking
sure.
about it, but that we are led spiritually as we're doing it. If you feel like in every situation, it's you against everyone else, then you're going to already start off in the wrong mindset. But women are very capable. As you said, we're needed for completion of so much.
Sure.
But when it comes to specific roles where you're very much accountable, so many lives are at stake
mm-hmm.
and your leadership is dependent upon,
mm-hmm.
you better be on your knees before God because there is about to be an eruption of chaos if you're right in your own eyes and it has nothing to do with what his plan is.
Well, I'm going to say that's true for even a homeschooling mom with two kids.
Absolutely.
You know, you've
yes.
got to know. And I'll just go back to the election.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to vote for someone just because they fit my cause profile?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I am purposely ignoring anything about this political race that's happening in our country. On the morning of the election, I will pray and ask God, okay, I'm giving you my vote. Mm-hmm. Who do you want me to vote for?
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple for me. I do not feel like I could ever discern truth in the media.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So even out of the candidate's own mouths,
mm-hmm.
you know, the media can make you look foolish
or
they can make you look like a queen.
And it can be the same thing in one week. On Monday, everyone hails you. By Friday, you are hated. You know, how are you going to endure that and actually know what to do moving forward if God has called you to that leadership role? You know, and I thought about that, Michelle, because we all have this deep desire within us to be glorified.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's there. You know, it's just there. And sometimes it's in the face of the mom comparison. Uh-huh. Sometimes it's in the face of, well, I am going to run because I am capable. And no one is denying that. But sometimes I think we're driven by what we have to prove.
Oh,
that's really the driving force. We can put God's name on it. We can quote verses. But what is your real internal motive? You are gaining your self-esteem, so to speak, from what everyone says about you, the accolades that you're receiving, and that name on the door or that name at the desk. And, you know, God will definitely shut that down if he has bigger plans for you than that. If he's not in the plan, there isn't really a future there. But we're all struggling. You know, we're all struggling. And I love the fact that God equalizes men and women in the Bible when he says, guess what? You're created in my image and you all fall short of the glory of God.
It's true. I was at a meeting last weekend with an amazing woman. One woman's dealing with issues of her heart. Her physical heart going to doctors over and over and over again.
Wow.
Another lady is a doctor. And imagine fighting through the system in the 60s and 70s to become a female doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Another lady is just going to start homeschooling this year.
Oh,
so we know
gosh.
That's a big jump. Another lady has moved from another country to America and started her family here.
Wow.
And the last lady that was with me works for a big corporation here in Baltimore, and they don't really care.
Wow.
You know,
I love it.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, I love it.
And
I
looked at these women and I said, I am so honored to be, it was a prayer meeting. And it was like, these are incredible, capable, gifted women.
Amen.
But I want to talk about a book, From Deception and Deceit to Destiny, by Dr. Wanda Clemons. She wrote this in 2003. It's on Amazon.
Yeah.
And on page 84, she says, authority is greater than power. And that's why it is attacked.
Wow.
And has feminism influenced modern Christianity? Well, yes. Because women, all people can confuse authority and power.
Absolutely.
Power has to be gained, maintained, enforced.
Mm-hmm.
It's control over people who are weaker than you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you want, nowadays with social media, you want to influence your followers.
Mm.
There's two football players. There's a list of the top 50 influencers. Of course, it's Google Online. And the top two are guys who are football players in America, soccer players.
Okay.
And they have millions upon millions of followers.
Okay.
They are partnered with all these different companies that pay them sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one guy, when he posts something, like let's say about Coca-Cola, him drinking a Coke by the soccer field, he gets $3.2 million.
Whoa.
For one post, one picture.
Oh my gosh.
Influencers. And then all these little kids who want to be footballers like him run out. But let's talk about some ladies in the Bible that used power.
Mm-hmm.
Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
She used power over Samson with her sensuality and sexuality.
Right.
Eve, Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Her power with Adam was his passivity.
Oh, my gosh.
She's like, oh, buddy, you're not going to lead? Well, just step aside.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make the decisions for this family. I will click that button on Amazon and we're not talking about Eve. Okay. David's wife, Michal, tried to exert power over her husband with scorn and sarcasm.
Hmm.
That can usually crush a guy, but David refused.
Wow.
He's like, no, you're wanting me to act like your dad, King Saul, and I'm not going to do it.
Wow.
And Jezebel, she has Naboth killed. She delivers his vineyard to her husband by lies and forming a conspiracy.
Wow.
We grant power when we worship celebrities, actors, royalty,
mm-hmm.
politicians, the rich, influencers.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
They are athletes, actors, singers.
Yep.
You know, and I could mention many singers and you would be like, oh, yes, if I saw them in the grocery store, you know, I would take out my camera and take their picture. Why?
Yeah, I know. You know, growing up, I remember, and what's ironic is that, you know, I was actually named from the casting of a movie that my mom saw.
Oh.
And then I ended up becoming a professional actor for 4.5 years. But I remember her always keeping me grounded in my pursuit of that and just reminding me, like, listen, you can have admiration for a person. You can respect them. You can embrace their work and say, wow, you're so wonderful at this craft. But they're just a person.
Mm.
They're just a person. And you know what you say? You did a great job with what you did. I'm honored to meet you. And I'm proud of what I did too, because mm-hmm. I contributed some portion mm-hmm. of this to my work. And rather than making it this big comparison game or the danger of worshiping them, mm. what am I doing? I'm equalizing them. And I'm saying, this is your portion. This is mine. And we can both be proud of it as ladies together, rather than being hateful and trying to one up each other, because that's always the spirit of the atmosphere.
Sure.
You know, I'm sure there are some people who loathe those soccer postings and they say, I've got to beat this guy. How can I get 4.5 million or
sure.
how can I get six? I mean, is this what your day consists of, trying to see how you can get, you know, decimal numbers of the millions? I mean, it's just, to me, it's a waste of time.
It's crazy.
It's just a waste of time. But you know,
it's crazy.
That's the thing. That's the thing. This movement, the entire feminist movement, there are some truths in there, and there are some things that needed to be addressed and
yes.
that still need to be addressed,
yes.
you know? But I'm thinking about women like Susan B. Anthony. I'm thinking mm. about women like Sojourner Truth.
Mm.
You know, there's even a quote from Sojourner Truth that the only way she was able, as a former slave who was beaten to unconsciousness, the only way she was able to have forgiveness in her heart and actually build real relationships with white Americans was through the love of God mm. in her. Her heart.
Beautiful.
Think about how powerful that is.
Yes.
Think about how powerful the force of God's love is beyond all the yelling and all the dissensions. There is nothing else more powerful. But if we're not even focused on that, and we're just rallying in our emotions and whether or not we agree with how we've been hurt or what we think is unfair, we don't really have as much of a future as we could have.
You're right. You know, when I think of authority, I'm reminded of Nehemiah, and he prayed for 4 months, asked the king if he could go to Jerusalem. He got letters of approval and authority, supplies, and he was accompanied by the king's guard to travel to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls.
Wow.
So spiritual authority is granted by God.
Mm.
It's not self-derived. You don't have to maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got it.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with responsibility and accountability.
Absolutely.
And it exemplifies humility and service.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some women who had no power,
mm-hmm.
but they had authority in the Bible. And I want to think about Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
She disobeyed her mother-in-law
mm-hmm.
to follow her to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
The very person she should have been subservient to and obedient to,
mm-hmm.
she's like, nope,
right.
I'm leaving. I'm coming with you.
Mm.
You know, and Ephesians 5 says, be followers of God.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that a lot of times when we're magnifying our feelings without God's filter, we don't even know that we're doing it, because there are these things that happen to us that leave wounds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's something that if we feel like we have to walk in a denial about it because that's the Christian way, I think that that does cause a lot of bitterness in a lot of women. And the
sure.
thing is we have to remember that seeking wisdom from God and not just trying to be better or, you know, like ourselves more, but really upholding the example of Christ, that means there are going to be tears.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we have to remember that that's okay, because that was the life of Christ. Everything that he pursued, it all ended up with us having him on the cross and him staying there with the strength of God and the love mm-hmm. of God mm-hmm. with actual blood coming out of his sweat, because mm-hmm. he was enduring that what God's plan is, it requires this sometimes. It requires drastic discomfort sometimes.
Beautiful.
That doesn't mean you're not heard, and that doesn't mean that things won't improve. But what do we always remind each other when we're in trials? Give God time to work. things are working out as you are lifting it to prayer. Sure. And that doesn't always look like what you think and by the end result, but you can guarantee that God hears his children and that he's still in control.
Amen. I like thinking of Abigail, and she gets right in David's face, right in. In fact, she threw himself at his feet so he couldn't go any further.
Wow.
And she goes up one side of him and down the other, but not with cursing, with reminding him of who God is and who he was.
Yes.
And Galatians 6:1 tells us, you that are spiritual, restore a man overtaken in a fault. So here's Abigail. Her husband never would have allowed her to do that. She was being incredibly rebellious and radical by approaching this other guy, you know, and but she was so right and she had that authority.
Yes, yes. And you know, I think that it's very interesting. I love that picture of her because I do think sometimes when we have a conviction that we know is from God, sometimes that does equal being a rule breaker, so to speak.
Sure.
Because sometimes the rules that are set, they have not been at all influenced by God. They could be very fear-based, very control-based.
Okay.
And we need to understand and be able to discern, okay, God, I am about to go out here and pick up my sign, okay? I am angry. This shouldn't have happened, and this isn't right.
Sure.
But as I'm waving it, I want you directing my heart.
Absolutely.
And when I want to take a next step because I see an opportunity, I want you to direct my heart.
And we don't want to be distracted from the Great Commission.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
JL in Judges 4 had authority. She killed someone. How does God give us authority? Well, it was a projection. He represents, yes, she killed a physical guy. She nailed his head to the floor and cut off his head.
Wow.
It's incredible. But it's a model for us of how we deal with projection. She's home alone in her tent. Her husband has made peace with the enemy. Oh, that's great. When your husband's totally against what everything you think is right about God, you know, but she demonstrates 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, pulling down strongholds. And it says in Judges 5, the land had peace for 40 years after she did what she did. Am I recommending we go out and kill somebody? No.
Good job clarifying that. That's good.
But we cast down projections that come into our own heads and kill them and nail them to the floor.
Wow.
How about Mary? A single girl. God says to her, want to have a baby? As a single girl, the answer would have been nope.
Right.
Nope.
Right.
Are you out of your mind?
Right.
This can't be God.
Right.
You know, this has got to be some guy dressed up for Halloween in my living room. But no, and she knew it was the Lord.
Yes.
Submitting to God's word for your life sometimes looks pretty radical.
Yes, it does.
But she says in Luke 1:38, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Now, I would say that Ruth, Abigail, JL, and Mary were feminists. They didn't ask anyone's permission. You know, they were doing business with God. Two of them were married. Their husbands would never have approved of them. One was a widow who had really been burned by God, I'll just say. She marries this, you know, godly guy, and they don't have any kids for 10 years, and then he dies.
Wow.
Oh, I would be mad.
Absolutely.
No, it didn't bother her a bit. In fact, she wants to even get closer to him. It's incredible.
Wow.
None of these women had power, but they had authority.
Yes. And they had real relationship with God directing all of the steps so that in the end, the results were actually fruitful.
Yes.
You know, that is so integral.
Beautiful.
You know, and I actually wanted to mention this other book, Michelle. I had mentioned this one to you as well. This is called Loving God with All Your Mind by Elizabeth George.
Oh, I love Elizabeth George.
Gosh, she is such an amazing writer, such a woman on fire for God. And she actually says in this book, we have to remember that God's interruptions are also God's interventions. And I loved that thought. I just, when I first heard that, I just kept thinking, what a perspective on things when they go wrong, supposedly, you know, not absolving any type of hurt that I may have experienced or any fear that I may have experienced. But when I look at it and I say, for some reason that I still don't understand or agree with, God has allowed this. And so since that is truth, since he never makes mistakes, I want to understand, what am I supposed to gain from this? And how am I supposed to move forward from this?
Excellent question.
So important, because it determines so much afterwards, and how whether or not that trial is really producing in you the character of Christ. That's what our life is about. You know, God is chipping away at so many different character traits that we don't even realize are in us sometimes. And they're blocking the intimacy with us that he really wants to have.
Sure.
And sometimes it has to be a very strong, you know, example or experience for us to just be knocked down to a humility and say, okay, God, now you really have my attention in a way that maybe you haven't even had for years.
You know, we were both married, and probably me, not you, has sometimes in the past, way past, used try to manipulate my husband or get what I want through power.
Wait a minute. Why is that you, not me?
Because you're perfect.
No, I'm not. Michelle, you cannot speak lies on Grace Sal.
I have used power. I've raised my voice.
Okay, amen. I'm going to say amen every time. This has happened to me too.
Yep. I have called my husband names.
Amen.
I have used my secret weapon of tears.
I just got the keys and drove off. That's what I did.
I have done that too. I've powered out of the driveway.
I'm leaving.
Yeah. I've powered out of the driveway. This is how I feel. I've thrown coffee cups.
Okay. I haven't done that
one. Oh my gosh. I've thrown sneakers. It hasn't been pretty. So yeah, see, but how do we get authority? I can't get power. And I can't maintain it. And I really don't want to have power over my husband.
No.
You know, we're in this together,
yes.
And I'm kind of crazy about him. But I do want to have authority.
Yeah.
And I think of the centurion who came to him in Matthew 9. He's coming on behalf of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I have authority to intercede for other people.
Mm-hmm.
He came with humility.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I'm not worthy. You know, he believed in the power of God's word. Speak the word only. And I love this point. He says in Matthew 8:9, I am a man under authority. He didn't say, I am a man with great authority. He pointed to the fact that he was under authority. So all these things, what's God going to say to us? No. You know, he healed that servant.
I love that. I love the acknowledgement that we're both under the same covering.
Yeah.
So if we're both under the same covering, why are we against each other? You know, and what you spoke about authority, it's so true, because I do think that there are moments, especially within your marriage, where you can honor that. Listen, even though I am in the headship position, what you have to say matters. I want us to make this decision together. God gave you to me. And so we are supposed to be understanding all that all the details are together. I want your input. This is something that's going to affect both of us. So what you have to say is something that I value.
Sure.
But I will be praying about the final way that God says this is how we are to move forward. But we need to understand each other in that way and regard each other's positions in that way, because that is within God's design.
Well, my favorite feminist in the Bible is mentioned in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. She delivered the epistle to the Romans by herself. We wouldn't have Romans if she hadn't done her
job. Is this Phoebe?
Yep.
Yeah.
I commend you to Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church at Centera. You receive her in the Lord, as become saints. And this is my favorite part. You assist her in whatever business she has need of. For she has been a succorer or an encourager to many, and myself also.
Wow.
Does she line up with that original command? Was she fruitful? Yes. Did she multiply people for the kingdom? Yes. Was she a replenisher, giving more than she was taking? Did she subdue things? Did she make a path, a way for other people? Yeah. And did she have dominion and authority? Yeah. And please don't think, well, Genesis is a long time ago. I don't think God's talking to us in the same way anymore. Go to Matthew 28. He says, make disciples.
Yes.
Be fruitful. Go into all the nations. Multiply. Teach them everything. Replenish their minds. Obey my commands. Subdue. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me.
Wow.
You know, and I am with you. So we are going to rule. In the Great Commission, Jesus repeats God's first commission.
Mm-hmm.
We are to multiply as disciple makers.
Yes.
And we may have an issue that's very near and dear to our hearts. Mm-hmm. And I do.
Yes.
I do. But be careful mm-hmm. how much of your time that it overtakes.
Yes. Yes. I love what you said in Matthew. It reminds me of Matthew 6:22 about having a single eye.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have experiences while we're in this life. There's going to be things that we have opinions about. There are going to be grave discomforts. But are our eyes fixated on Christ even through the discomfort? You know, he's not intimidated when we bring him into a political issue.
Sure.
He's not intimidated when we bring him into a personal relationship issue. The question is whether or not we are having these bitterness meetings or whether or not we're calling on him.
You know, I had a bitterness lunch with somebody.
Michelle.
We didn't mean for it to happen, but we are a little too comfortable with
yeah.
each other, and we both spilled our guts on what bothers us. And, you know, we didn't go away built up
wow.
or encouraged.
Wow.
And I just said to myself, okay, not spilling my guts that way again.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Are you a feminist?
Well, I think if we're talking about godly feminist, I hope that I am, you know, because I've had, of course, moments like that myself. But you know what? The key component is what you just said. When I walked away, I wasn't built up. The person wasn't built up. And I think we were in the exact same position that we were in before the lunch or before
yeah.
the coffee.
Yeah.
And so, again, if you're going to voice how you feel, at the end of it, are you praying over it? At the end of it, yeah. are you saying, is there more of me in this issue than God? And what is the root of my anger?
Yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't have anything to do with God, even though you said his name
yep.
so much in the
yep.
conversation.
Even
it's about you.
You've polished this issue and put all kinds of godly doilies around it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not.
And we do that, you know, even especially as women, we manipulate ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we can get caught up in the webs. And I love this charge that you have. Michelle, you are powerful, you are capable, you are intelligent, and you are a godly woman. So use that according to his will. And who knows how much of the world you can change, because there have been women that have remained under his headship and we're still benefiting from the ways that they fought.
Sure.
So let's be wise about it. You know, there's a culture that's always reaching out to us and saying, no, be a feminist like this. And we need to turn our eyes back to God and not get advice from people who have one hand in the church and one hand out, or people who are quietly saying, I'm going to nod my head in service, but you guys are going to meet me at my house a few hours from now, right? And we're going to make a plan about how we can really get what we want. You know, it's in all of us. So let's just stop denying it and let's acknowledge how hard it is to continue following Christ when we have these things screaming in our heart. We're not God. We don't have his wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know everything about his plan,
mm-hmm.
but we do know how to come under
yep.
and stomp your feet about it for a few minutes, get your scream out,
yep.
and then pick up your Bible and say, I gave my life to you on
Amen.
This day
Amen.
At this time, and I meant it.
Amen. You know, if you're a new listener to Grace Hour, you're not surprised to see a woman sitting at this table. But if you had tuned in 10 years ago, you would never see this.
Mm.
So in a way, we are feminists.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never want to be a social feminist
mm-hmm.
because I'm not giving up my authority for mere power.
Amen.
Thanks
Amen.
For joining
Absolutely.
Us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys, for being here with us. We always love our time with you. We hope you were blessed. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And be sure to join us for our next show, listening for the rest of the week on this issue of feminism and other threads of it within our culture. God bless you guys. We love you.